heart tonight. I'm appreciative this week of the rain. It hasn't worked great for all my schedules, but we did need some rain, and it has been good rain. And so did you know that the rain is biblical? The Bible talks about rain. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you know, sometimes it didn't rain, and then sometimes it did rain, and one time it rained a whole bunch, and God said, I'll never do that again. But I'm thankful for the showers of blessings that we get through the times when we need it. The Lord's just looking out for us. Amen. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 16 this evening. Jump to the Old Testament to start out with. Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 13. It says, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? I want to read it one more time. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you to God for the songs that have been sung, the testimonies, Lord, that have been shared. We thank you to God, Lord, that you care, Lord, and we thank you to God your presence and your spirit is here to renew and lift us up. I pray, Lord, that you anoint me to minister the message that you've laid on my heart tonight. I pray, Lord, let it edify us to God, strengthen us, encourage us, and refresh us. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. We're jumping here back to the Old Testament. And the context of this verse 13 of chapter 16, it's sharing the story of Hagar. And we understand that there were some things that Abraham didn't do perfect in his life. There were some mistakes that he made. And there were some problems that went along with the promise. But the interesting thing that I find about this is, in spite of things being out of the will of God, God still ministered to the people that was in need. And we find here that Hagar, Sarah wasn't treating her right, and so she left. And you know, sometimes that happens, you know. You get offended and things go hard. And so she left, and she was found out in a desert place. And we find that the Lord ministered to her, and the Lord gave her a promise about what was to come. And when God got done talking to her and God got done ministering to her, she named the God that spoke to her. Now, Abraham knew him as Jehovah, but Hagar knew him as the God that seest me. That's the God that she felt spoke to her. And she says, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? I want to preach for just a little bit this evening on an abundance of provision. An abundance of provision. We jump a few more chapters over in the book of Genesis, and we find Abraham's going up the mountain, and he's got Isaac with him, and God has laid it on his heart to sacrifice the promised child. And we find as he goes up there, and he goes through the motions, he does everything that God has asked him to do. And as he's getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, we find that an angel of the Lord speaks to him and stays his hand. And as his hand is stayed, we begin to find in verse 13, it says, And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There's several interesting things that's going on here in this story, but what I really want to deal with is the name Jehovah Jireh. Now we understand and we come to know this term as God is my provider. But when you begin to look up the word provide in the Hebrew, the word provide means see to it. See to it. It also means experience or perceive. So what I begin to find here is that Abraham and Hagar had an experience with the same God. They had an experience with the God of provision. They had an experience with the God who sees them. They had an experience with the God who begins to see after their needs. They had an experience with God who saw to it and delivered upon what he said he would do. As I begin to study this out and begin to look at this, and Lord begin to lay it in my heart, I just want to kind of go back to some of the basics. I'm not here to preach at you. I'm here to preach with you. I'm here to encourage you. Remind us of who we serve. Remind us of who has our back. Remind us of how big God truly is. What we begin to find is we go all the way back to the beginning. And when God created everything, he created it perfect. God looked at it all and he said, what? It's good. And I understand that in today when we say it's good or all good, you know, it didn't carry, our term good does not carry the same effect as when God said it was good. When God said it was good, it said there was nothing that could be added on to what I did. But we begin to find that sin crept in. We find that Adam and Eve, they had everything. It was perfect. God had put Adam in charge of the garden. He said, everything that's here, you can have except for one thing. Of that one thing, just don't partake. That's all I ask. We find in the cool of the day, God would come down and he would fellowship with his creation. This is the way God intended it. He desired to fellowship with his creation. Did you know that Adam and Eve were created to be eternal beings? They were not created to die. They were created to be eternal like God is. But yet we begin to find that sin began to creep into that garden. And as sin crept in, it began to corrupt what God had made good. Everywhere sin goes, it corrupts, it destroys, it tears apart. Everything that the devil does, he does it to be against God and to destroy everything God has set in place. And we find that the whole result of this was a curse and a judgment and a promise. We find in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And then he goes on, he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now, he wasn't talking to the serpent at this point. He was talking to the one who had possessed the serpent. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What was this? This is the first prophetic provision that God began to make. God had created it all. It was all perfect. It was all good. It couldn't be improved upon. But yet we begin to find that sin crept in. Adam and Eve messed up. And thus there became a need to restore fellowship between the creature and the creator. And so we begin to find that God begins to look down and he realizes that there is going to need to be a provision to restore what he had previously created. And we begin to find that this provision was of salvation. And this is the first prophecy that is given to begin to talk about what was going to transpire as God looked down through time. And he saw that there would be men and women who were going to be separated from him. And they would need a way to get back to having fellowship with him. We jump all the way to the end of the book. It's See, that's the way you preach fast. You start at the beginning, and then you jump all the way to the end. We jump all the way to the end. We jump to Revelation chapter 5. And we begin to find John the Revelator. He's having this revelation. And in verse 4, he says, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Jump down to verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Jump down to verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What are we seeing here? We're seeing the celebration of the provision that God had made. As John began to have the revelation, he began to get a glimpse into heaven of the conquering king, the Lamb who was the perfect sacrifice, Christ who came and gave his life willingly so that we could have a provision called salvation. What we begin to understand is God looked, he said, hey, Brother Jason Pepper, he's going to need a provision of salvation. There is no other name, no other way in which he can restore his fellowship with God. God looked down through time and he said, there has to be a provision. And Christ stepped up and he said, I choose to be the provision. Who would choose to suffer what he suffered? Who would choose to go through what he went through? Who would choose to be slain? Who would choose to be ridiculed? Who would choose to be beaten and torn? Who would choose that? Someone who has your provision in mind. Someone who understood that there was nothing that we could do to restore ourselves back to God, and that mankind would be eternally separated unless there was a provision made. And Christ stepped up, the Lamb stepped up. He said, and I choose to be the provision for mankind. As God looked at creation and he saw what was corrupted, he began to understand that there had to be a provision of salvation. But he didn't stop with just the provision of salvation. He understood that while it's great, it's good to be restored into fellowship with God. Mankind in our sinful state, guess what? We have a hard time maintaining our salvation, don't we? Sometimes it's hard to keep your salvation. We don't believe in once saved, always saved, right? We don't believe in eternal security. We believe in progressive sanctification. We believe that you got to pray through every morning. If you don't pray through, you're going to lose what you have. And so God understood with sin creeping into the world that they were going to forget him. They were going to struggle to live holy. His creation, everything that they were going to do, it was going to be hard to do it right. So he said, I gave the perfect sacrifice to restore fellowship, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to give them a provision of power to maintain their salvation. We find in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. What is this? This was a prophecy of the coming of the day of Pentecost. This was a prophecy of the power that God was providing for his children. You see, when Joel said it, he didn't understand everything that this was going to entail. When we begin to study the Old Testament, we find that the Spirit came upon them and they prophesied. What that was the Spirit of God would rest on them, and they would begin to talk things that they didn't know. They didn't understand. They would begin to sometimes talk prophetically. Or there were times in the days of the prophets in which Elijah walked the earth, and there was schools of prophets, there was sons of the prophets. There's prophets everywhere. That was what was funny about the days of Elijah and Elisha, more so Elisha than Elijah. But there was prophets everywhere. And sometimes the Spirit of God will fall on a whole school of prophets. And the Bible says that they would just prophesy. Did you know that when Saul was anointed king, he was with some prophets, and Saul prophesied, and the prophets prophesied. Nobody ever really says what they said, but it was a marking. People understood that the Spirit of God had fallen on them, and the things that they were speaking were not their own any longer. See, this was Joel's understanding of the Spirit of God being poured out. But what he did not understand was that there was going to be something greater coming. God said, I don't desire just to pour my Spirit out on an individual from time to time. There's going to come a time in which they will be endued with power from on high. He said, there's going to be a provision made for my church in which they will have the power to maintain their salvation. We find in John 14, it says, and I will pray the Father, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. This is good right here. See, Christ was walking with them for 3.5 years. And there was a time in which Christ sent them out to minister. And they preached the gospel. There was miracles. There was demons cast out. All these things happened. How did all of that happen? The Holy Ghost went with them. And he said, hey, he dwelleth with you now. This power that you felt when you was accomplishing these things for the gospel, that was the Holy Ghost. That was the Comforter. But he's not just going to dwell with you. He shall be in you. He says, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The God that seeth me. Here he is once again in the New Testament. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. No allergies, got my throat all tore up tonight. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. One of the hardest things to maintaining your salvation is remembering you're a Christian. Have I ever forgot anything? Yeah, we do. We forget things. But you know, sometimes we just use I forgot as an excuse for not doing. I did that when I was a kid. I remember that. I was old enough to remember, so that means I was old enough. I should have known better. But there were times Dad said, well, did you do that? Oh, man, I forgot. I didn't forget. I just didn't want to do it. But it's a lot easier to say, oh, I forgot. Because everybody's, oh, well, I understand. Because we all forget things. Yet sometimes we use it as an excuse. The Holy Ghost came to bring all things to your remembrance. Did you know that the Holy Ghost can either be your biggest help or your biggest convictor. You see, he's the one that sits over there and he begins to bring to your remembrance. When you're sitting there struggling to maintain your salvation, you're sitting there struggling to remember that you're supposed to be a Christian. He's the voice in your mind that says, hey, you remember who you are supposed to be. He said, the Comforter, he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This is the purpose of the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, God looked down through time. He's the God that seest. And as he looked way beyond Adam and Eve, and he looked thousands of years down the road, he said, there's going to be a chosen people. He said, but there's also going to be a people for my bride, that there's going to be a bride for my son. And they're going to be called the church. And I'm going to give the church something that he didn't give his people. He said, I'm going to give a provision for the church, because the church is going to live in a time in which it is going to be utmost vital for them to be an ambassador and a witness for me. I'm going to give the church something that will empower them to stand in the face of persecution. I'm going to give the church something that will empower them to be able to turn their eyes when they need to be turned. I'm going to give the church power to live holy, to live righteous, to live godly, to live ethical. I'm going to give the church power to be what I am. And as he looked down through time, he said, I'm going to give a provision of power. That's all good. That's all exciting. Man, am I preaching anything that you didn't know? He's the God that sees you. He sees us when we struggle. He sees us when we're hurting. He sees us when we're alone. He sees us when we're by ourselves. He sees us when we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. He sees us when we're struggling, when we're overcoming. He sees all of that. And as he looks at our lives, he's been making provision for you when you didn't even know that he was making provision. Can I tell you that we serve such a big God that as he looks at us, he sees and anticipates what we need before we ever even know that we need it. I could tell you this, Adam and Eve didn't know that they were going to need a Savior, but God had already anticipated it. Can I tell you that he anticipates the need before you ever see it? But he gives us also a provision of forever. We have salvation. We have the power to maintain that salvation. But this brings it full circle. The whole purpose of the provision of salvation and power is so that he can have fellowship forever. You see, that's what God started with. Sin corrupted it. But when God puts his master plan in place, it's going to come full circle back to how he designed it to be. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. What was going on here is people were having a question of, when the Lord comes back, what about the ones that died before the Lord came back? And there were some people that were really concerned about how this was going to go down. And so Paul says, he said, don't worry about this. He said, you being alive doesn't prevent those being dead from going. He said, just rest your minds easy, because that's trivial information, because there's something way more important fixing to happen. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I tell you that there's coming a day in which you won't have to struggle to maintain your salvation any longer? That there's coming a day when all of your faithfulness, your steadfastness, everything that you've sacrificed and you've done for God, it's going to become a realization for you. Because the whole provision of salvation, the whole provision of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is to prepare you for one big final event that's coming up on the horizon, in which He's going to take His creation and He's going to restore them into fellowship with Him. Because that day when He looked down and He said, "It's good," He meant it. And He said, "And I'm going to create good again." What we begin to find as you begin to read through the book of Revelation, that there's going to come a time in which there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there's going to be peace between the lion and the lamb. And there's going to be no more tears. And there's going to be coming and going between heaven and that new earth. What's going on? God is once again going to be put into fellowship with His creation. And when all of that transpires, when all of that is gone, God has made a provision for a happily ever after. You see, there's not going to be another rebellion. There's not going to be another Satan. There's not going to be another devil. In fact, my Bible tells me that an angel gets a hold of him, grabs him up by the tail, and throws him in the bottomless pit for evermore and evermore to be ever remembered ever again. This is the provision that God has made for me and you. Now, what you say with me? God sees me. I want to encourage you tonight. Sister Pepper, you're coming back to the piano. I want to encourage you tonight that God sees you where you're at right now. And a God who has put so much thought into all these provisions for His children is going to make provision for you where you're at right now. He knows the struggles. He knows the desires. He knows the cries of the heart. There was a lot more I wanted to share. I don't have time to get into it. But you begin to find that in Revelation, jumping back there in Revelation chapter 5, you begin to find that some of these elders carry the vows of the prayers of the saints around their necks. What is that? That is the constant request of the church going up to God. You say, "Well, God hasn't answered my prayer." Can I tell you something? Every prayer that you've ever prayed is bottled up in heaven. And every prayer that you've ever prayed has been heard in heaven. And there is a record being kept of all the prayers of the saints. And while He may not be answering right now, can I tell you this? He's already made a provision for the answer to those prayers. See, we serve a God who is constantly looking out for what we need in our lives. There's not a child of God who has endured anything that is going to go unprovided for in His kingdom. You read over and begin to read through the breaking of the seals. You get to the fifth seal, and you find that there are souls under the altar. And the Bible says that these were those that gave their lives by great trial and torment. These were the martyrs of the church. And some would even argue to say that this could be the cries of aborted children. And you say, "Well, God's free." No, He hasn't. You know what He does? He takes them into His kingdom. He puts them in white robes. That's what the Bible says. He puts them in white robes. And He says, "Wait just a little bit, because you will be avenged for what you have suffered." I'm talking about a God who makes provision when you think that no provision is going on. This is Jehovah Jireh. This is the God that sees to it. Now I want to encourage you tonight, whatever is you're standing to your feet, whatever you're dealing with, whatever life is throwing at you, whatever struggles that you're going through, I want to remind you and encourage you and tell you tonight that God sees it, and if you'll allow Him, He will see to it. Amen. Let's gather in these altars this evening. Let's have us a time of prayer.